passage is coming from the 21st chapter of Isaiah. The 21st chapter of Isaiah. And it has three prophecies within it to three different nations. One of them is to Babylon, which had been destroyed. And it reverts back to chapter 13 because it goes back and forth. And if you study over a period of time, you'll see the Bible is not in chronological order, nor are the prophets' writings or whatever. The I'm getting tired up this morning. I know that medicine gives me the dry mouth. Okay, but what we have to do is realize that when he gives us a prophecy, it's to make us aware of what he has done, or what he's doing, or what he's going to do. A lot of commentaries and scholars and things look at this and say, well, had this been accomplished in its permanent status? And no, maybe not, but it has been established to the point where with Babylon, the prophecy on Babylon is a latter-day prophecy. In other words, this is the end-time Babylon. But he's also bringing judgment upon his people, Israel. He's telling them to be aware and watch. And so the sermon, the reason I gave the study guides and went through the study things Wednesday night, and we'll do it Sunday, is that watch has so many variations on the word of watch. And you have that encompasses a whole lot. So I want to read this 21st verse, and I think of 21st chapter, and I think I read it last time and said I wasn't going to read it all in its entirety. So I'm just pulling out of there the first few verses, 14, verse 1 and 2, and another verse of 5 and 6. It says, "The burden of the desert of the sea, as the whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All of the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pains have taken hold upon me. As the pains of a woman that travaileth, I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted, fearfulness of affrighting me in the night of my pleasure had he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus had the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. The burden of Duma, verse 11. He called to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire. Return, come. Verse 13, the burden of Arabia. In the forest in Arabia shall he eat large, O ye traveling companies. The inhabitants of the land of Timur brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented them from their bread and that fled. Here, there's among different scholars and things, they worry about, was Duma, was he talking about Esau's people, the people of Esau? And with the Arabia, was he talking about the Ishmaelites, people of the Arab descendants from Abraham's other son through Keturah? You remember I told you Abraham had sons also and children through Abraham's other wife, Keturah, after Sarah passed. And so this is all, the first one was when he says of the desert, he was talking about Babylon, and when he says Elam in Persia, there's also what he meant about Elam, but here he says the Medians, in other words, Persia, what is modern-day Iran. So they had conquered Babylon, and the prophet was dismayed. He was shuddered that no one thought of a world power like Babylon being conquered, just like a world power like the United States being conquered, being taken down, fallen. There was a dominant people in the NFL now, a dominant team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they almost lost the other day, but I think they still undefeated or whatever. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers is very dominant or whatever. And what happened was, like the election the other day, and the president was declaring he had partial, you know, he had won and they was going to recount the votes or whatever. And they had said, put a watchman to see what happened here, you know, to see what would go on, because the people were still fearful and frightened, you know, because this dominant force, this had been taken down, you know. The president was saying, if I lose to a loser like Biden, you know, what would kind of loser I would be or whatever. And, you know, he got taken down, you know, but there was a discrepancy as to who won or was it anything. But when this happened to Babylon, it was no doubt that God was involved, and they put a watchman because this was concerning unto them because of the way it happened, but it wouldn't be the end. In other words, they were fearful because it was going to come upon Israel again, upon Judah. You know, so you are afraid, you know, of what's going on because of the way this occurred. And they said, put a watchman, and they kept inquiring of the watchman as to what's going on at night, you know, what's going on, what of the night, you know, how's it going? And the Republicans at one time was, they were not conceding defeat along with the president. They were worried, but it gotten pretty dangerous because of the national security briefings, and a few of the Republican senators says, now look, we need a watchman. We need for him to be able to see what's going on, to know what's going on, because our enemies could rise against us at any time. They could come up against us at any time, you know, and they was fearful of themselves, so they had a point watchman to watch and see. And a watchman is a very skilled person, a person that's really adept at many different things. But that word watchman, what accomplice of what it says, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, where eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. In other words, it was going to require preparation. Yes. Be ready. You have to be ready for whatever goes on. And that's what Jesus, when he tells us to watch, a lot of times he says, take heed. Be ready, for thus saith the Lord unto me, go set a watchman and let him declare, just what do he see? What did he see? Because in just seeing that, what could come from that? And it was a discerning look. And what God has done, he has made all of us watchmen. Yes. He had said through the evangelist Paul to Timothy, through the apostle Paul to Timothy, he says, do the work of an evangelist. Stay on guard. So we all should be watchmen. He's made us all watchmen. That comes from our opening scripture that we read now and we speak of in our doxology when closing. Mark 37, verse of the 13th chapter. Mark says, what I say to one, I say to all. Watch. Be careful. Be careful. What they was watching for? He says, and watch what I say unto you. Be careful. And because you even have to be watching yourselves. We don't have to search for before we find a cause for God's judgment. It is man's unending determination to fill his life with every vile or corrupt imagination. Everything imaginable could come unto man. Man has done. So it's not only watching the world or the things of the world. Is watching thyself. You have to take heed unto thyself. Without a doubt, the problem is that humanity itself during the time of Noah had went so far, they were marrying and intermarrying, and it became a dangerous time. because the sons of men went into the daughters of men. In other words, it's like if we would say the political system and religious system has melded together today. We see a lot of people that's involved in religion and is involved in politics, and there's a danger to that. So we need to keep a sharp lookout, because the religious element and the societal element is intermingled there. In other words, don't you think we have a far more difficult problem now? The watching becomes much more precarious, because we've seen that the vote was almost 50-50. That it was some 70 million votes for the president and some 75 million for the president-elect. So he was going to argue, he could argue. It still can be a point where, like they said, the Electoral College, those of the Electoral College can get together. You could have those in the Electoral College go rogue on them and still vote. If the Electoral College vote and put up 270, they have 270 electors to vote for Trump, it still would win, and you still would have a fight there, because then it would be a legal battle. It would be a legal battle because of the last three elections, not the Obama election, but the Al Gore, George Bush election. You remember the Supreme Court was the determining factor there, and that's what he was trying to do, get it to where the courts would make a decision. But Hillary Clinton did beat Donald Trump by some 2 million or 3 million votes. She won the popular vote, but she lost the Electoral College. Well, here it has Biden winning the Electoral College. But what happens if some of those go rogue and don't vote or don't do what they're supposed to do? That's why you can't be dependent or trusting upon man. And that's why it says set a watchman, because Israel had, at one time, they was dependent on Babylon, and one time Babylon turned against them, so you don't know who to trust or what to trust. Sometimes those in your own household, you can trust them, but sometimes those that you allow and entrusted and taken in, sometimes if you're not aware or whatever, they'll try to overcome you. They'll try to rise up against you. So they was in a precarious position here, the reason they had set watchmen. It wasn't a dominant thing. You remember I told you Tampa Bay was winning and they had a quarterback from New England there, not Tom Brady or whatever. So they was the big dogs on the block. But see, when they went against the Saints the other day, it was like when LSU went against Auburn and Auburn really tore them up. Well, the Saints tore them all to pieces. It was a thorough whipping. Tampa Bay had, in the NFL, they hadn't had a team that lost that bad rushing. I think Tampa Bay might have gotten 5, 15, or 20 yards or something like that rushing. They couldn't run. They couldn't pass. They didn't have a defense. The Saints tore them all to pieces. It wasn't any doubt. See, but then now you have it, like now you have to set a watch, because Trump was drawing out some that you didn't know quite what his stand, and now you knew what he's stand. It's just like the Go Auto guy, he intervened, he said something about the vice president. Some people that Trump brought to light that you knew where they stand, some of them are still hidden. We wouldn't have knew unless he volunteered that information. So what happens in the church when there are those that are still hidden within the church that hadn't been exposed, that hadn't been defeated? See, because if you notice, Satan always rises to come back. Even when Jesus defeated him in the wilderness, it said he departed from Jesus. If you read that, after that confrontation in the wilderness, he said he departed to come back in a more convenient season. And when he did come back, he killed Jesus. But what happened, God allowed that to happen. So we have to see that God's going to allow things to come in our lives. That's why he tells us to watch, to be circumspect, to be vigilant, to be diligent in what we're doing. Keep a sharp lookout. Let me read that, I think, in the Living Version. It says, keep a sharp lookout, for you do not know when or how come, at evening, at midnight, early dawn, late daybreak. Don't let me find you sleeping. Watch for my return. My message to you and everyone else is to watch. When we see in the Bible about sleeping and being on guard and staying alert, that's a tenuous position to be in. If you ever hear in the Bible, most of the time you would come up on, you would hear Saul or Eli or whatever sleeping, a slothfulness of being asleep. That's a signal of not being prepared. We were talking about the five wise and the five foolish the other day. Even though all of them was brides, notice that the five foolish was asleep. The five foolish had went to sleep. They wasn't continually trimming their lamps. They didn't keep putting oil in their lamps, so they wasn't ready for when Jesus came back. When the bridegroom did come back, he went in without them. And we noticed that Jesus had left his people. In the book of John, he says, let me go to that. Some of this still didn't get printed out, what I had. The 17th chapter of John. You don't have your iPad with you, Sister Ty. The 17th chapter of John and the 15th verse. He left them in the world. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them, and now I'm no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, just as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. These that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, in which they knew Judas would be lost. Jesus had already said one was a devil. He says, and now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thine word, and the world had hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil that is in the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thine truth. Thine word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their name's sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So here he is. He's telling us that we're in a world, and one of the gospels, he say, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You're like sheep in the midst of wolves, see, because we can't fight the same way the world fights. We have to fight the way God has given us to fight. Notice that he says, I've given them your word. So all we have to fight with, and that's all we need. He's given us all we need. He had given us his word. There's nothing more powerful than his word. There's nothing, no weapon made by man, or nothing that is more powerful than the word of God. It's an offense and it's a defense. It's the rod. A lot of places you see where it calls it the rod, but it's also the sword of the Spirit. And that's how you're sanctified, by staying in the Word and staying in Him. He says, I kept them in my name, and that's how we are kept, in the name of Jesus Christ. We have to be covered by the blood. We have to keep on our covering in Him. So if we intermingle with the world, he's left us in the world. But if he catch us, he says, now beware when I come back. If I catch you doing what you're not supposed to be doing, in other words, pleasure, eating and drinking, carousing, I use that word, or reveling, or doing the things of the world, even when doing those things, you have to have Jesus on your mind. You have to be a part of what Jesus is. In other words, mindful of him. So you can't be saying the same thing the world says. You have to keep your conversation straight. That's why it says you have to watch yourself. You can't use the profane things as the world uses. You can't use a see. Be careful what you allow your eyes to see. You have to watch those things. You have to watch who you hear, what you hear. It says, be on guard constantly and alert, for you do not know what appointed time he's coming back. So you can't be sitting up there just watching anything on television. You can't be just sitting in any church or following anyone, he says, because be careful of what you hear. He does tell us that we are to follow, hear, listen at what the Pharisees says. But in listening at what the Pharisees says, you have to be able to distinguish whether they're in God's word or not, whether it's true. In other words, they may be quoting scripture. They may be saying something in the scripture, but you should be so studied up. You should know God's word so much that that's one scripture that they've built a doctrine around and they're dogmatic about it, but it may be four or five other scriptures, other places. He did this line upon line, precept upon precept, and that's why he says, study to show thyself approved. So they may be talking about tithing, these different things, but when Jesus says, okay, well, that you should have done. You should pay your tithes and offerings and everything, but you forgot about the weightier matters of the law. You see, as the shepherd in my watching and my going on, I have to be attentive to all of the sheep or whatever. One of the members that asked me, said, well, wonder why the pastor keep preaching on this or preaching on that. I wonder, have they noticed that I have anyone heard me preaching on tithes and offering lately? See, because, in other words, that may not be what is needed. You have to be able to observe. You have to be able to look and see what condition your flock is in. But if I'm talking about watching, I'm talking about sleeping and slumbering, then we may have a problem with us studying the Word of God. We may have a problem about slumbering or going to sleep on the Word of God. I keep going across the same thing because when this thing printed, it printed, I don't know how it printed this out, but what happens is you have to be careful of every minute thing that is even that is good. In other words, those things that you could become comfortable with could end up becoming a snare to you. And as he withdrew a stone's throw, now we know that we have to sleep or whatever, and he knelt down and prayed with them, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. So he wasn't getting away from God's cup or whatever. His fleshly side was looking, he says, if there's any other way, but he knows that thy will, nevertheless, your will be done your way. He was aware of Peter. You remember Peter says, that shall not happen to you, Lord. Beware, it shouldn't happen to you. But Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he didn't understand or he didn't know the word of God or what's God's word or how it's to be done. And he said the wrong thing, even though his heart was in it. We can't lead with our hearts a lot of times. Because it's the feelings of men, and sometimes feeling gets in our way. If the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall in the ditch. So the other day I was telling you about the young man that was wanting to talk to me about the scriptures or whatever. But I seen that, well, you are a drawback unto me. What are you doing now? It would be good for some children or someone that's knowing or learning the word of God. That Jesus had a specific way of teaching, and that Paul understood that way of teaching because Paul was a Pharisee. As a pastor, I have a certain obligation. It says, feed the flock, feed my flock. Well, that's my duty, is feeding the flock. And once, that's why deacons were created, because Peter and them was a little bit further behind than Paul, because since Paul had studied and knew the law, Paul could work during the day. You remember Paul worked as a tent builder or whatever. Paul could work and then teach and preach at night, whereas Peter and them, it was a little bit different with Peter. Peter and them had been fishermen all of their lives. They were unlearned men. So Peter had to do a lot of catching up. The rest of the apostles that wasn't Pharisees had to do a lot of catching up. A lot of people ask me sometime or whatever about certain things because, man, I do some rough teaching. I have to stop. I have to look at this and I have to do that because I didn't go to seminary school. I didn't go through the same ranks as some of them may have went to. So they wasn't as polished. So Peter said, well, look, I'll tell you what. Let's appoint deacons to this job. The job of setting tables, of getting stuff together, preparing. Because it says we have to prepare for the Word of God. We have to study the Word of God. So it's different than the preachers. And I listen, I don't know how many of y'all listen at different preachers on sermon audios or whatever. But the ones I really listen at and get the most out of are the ones that are in the same position or come through just as I have, struggling and going on. Those are the ones that can preach, and I leave that to them to preach against the Billy Grahams and the Joel Osteens and all these things. We have the ones that we preach and teach against or whatever and says you need to be careful of those because he told Jeremiah to prophesy against the shepherds because the warfare, why the reason I say it's going to get dangerous, it's not, it's within religion, those within the church. That's why I ask y'all a lot of times, why you ask me that, or where did you get this from? Because as the sheep, there's people coming into you, if they see you getting to a point where you're starting to try to be blessed, and you trying to witness or whatever, they gonna try to blindside you with different stuff, and that's why, you know, I came out, if someone asked me about the Holy Spirit, the very next week or two, I want to preach on the Holy Spirit. I want to preach from what's happening with the sheep. See, that's why with the little churches, it's so big, the church is so gargantuan, that God gives you a little flock. He gives you those sheep, and you know each sheep by name. He says, my flock, they're not going to listen at another. So those that want to know, they come to their shepherd. And if anybody's not in my church or whatever, I say, well, go ask your pastor. Go ahead, because he should know you better. He should know more about you. Yes. See, the shepherd is attended to the sheep. But within the sheep themselves, they have to be attended to one another to love each and every one of y'all. Y'all have to know each other. You have to get acquainted. This church quite is not there yet. There are a lot of churches that they're not just leaving after church or through the week. They're getting together in one another's homes or they're talking and they know what's going on with one another. That's how the church get in to start praying with each other and praying for different people. And listen at this, at the Ezekiel, the third chapter, the 16th through the 21st verse says, at the end of 7 days, the Lord said unto me, son of dust, that's in the Amplified Version, but it's meaning son of man, and all of us are sons of God, in other words. He says, I have appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Whenever I send my people a warning, pass it on to them at once. If you refuse to warn the wicked, when I want you to tell them, you are under the penalty of death. Therefore, repent and save your life. They will die in their sins, but I will punish you. So I've been giving that to y'all to keep the wolves, to keep things at bay in your life. Now, it could be somebody very close to y'all. That's why I say for the church to start growing, you will have to start shedding the weights and sins that's besetting you. And see, there's a shelf life or time to this. The other day I was telling you about the young man, my neighbor, that had asked me to pray for him, and we prayed for him. And I've been praying for him, but I told him, I said, well, look, you have to get to the point where you can pray for yourself. I said, but in my prayer and meditating on this, I woke up the other morning around 5:30 or whatever, the Lord was putting this on my mind and putting this in with me, that it's time for you to get right. You still have maybe 20 or 30 years that if you get right and follow the Lord, turn, that you can be strengthened in the Lord and fulfill your purpose in God. And I seen him this morning, and I said, well, we have to have that talk. He said, well, yeah, it's going to be a good talk, too, or whatever. See, because I don't know how you feel about it, or whether you, under that fear, that when once God starts opening your eyes and you become conscious or awoke, that you start being fearful of the times that we're in, of the people that we're in. And as you start warning them, you see you don't have much time. Now, he going on about his way or whatever, I don't know whether he's going to lose his eyesight. I don't know whether he's going to get through with the operation that he has to get through or whatever. But I'm telling him that if God's warning him, if you came to me asking for prayer, I made that prayer to you. I made that prayer to God for you or whatever. But this is what God says.
Yes.
See, now I have warned him. Have you warned your wife? Have you warned your husband? Have you warned your children? Or do you warn people that come across your path each day? Maybe that's why you're not growing in the Lord or developing, because it's the little foxes that are destroying the vines, the reason your life is not advancing, the reason you're not getting what you say or want, is because you're letting these people come back in with little problems all the time or whatever, with the same thing, always saying, well, pray for me, pray for me. Okay, well, I'll pray for you, but let me tell you this. This is what God says or whatever. Because you need to be in a position where you can pray for yourself and pray for others, and that you should be growing. You shouldn't set back or be held back. And once you tell them that, they have to get on that road. Get into progress and in the Lord. And if a righteous man, those that follow this election, if they turn from their unrighteous, from their righteousness and commit righteousness, you need to be able to see that and not intermingle with them. Don't care if they're in a church or not. Watching is being diligent of those things from around you, because your people are in the dark. I'm just going to have to resolve that I didn't get what I need to get all this. I'm going to have to redo it. Go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Now, if you're different, be different. But if you're not different, you need to stay on the altar, stay praying to God until you start seeing that actual difference in your life, and it start to manifest itself in your life. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. For ye were sometime darkness, but now ye are light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and all righteousness and all truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are approved are made manifest by the light. So for whatever doeth make it manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake, thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, whereas it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So if God has opened your eyes, he's quickened you. In other words, he made you alive. The Spirit is what giveth life. Well, if you keep giving out that light, if you keep reproving that which is wrong, that which is not right, then he's going to give you the strength, because you will run into those situations against obstacles that's really close to you where you really need the Lord, and you will pray for greater grace. You will pray. You will humble yourself before God. But if you have an unteachable spirit, you will try to solve that in the flesh. And this is an overwhelming situation. This is something catastrophic that came into your life, and you handling it on your own. You try to hear what other people say. You know, you have relatives that are saying, pray for me. Well, I pray that you have a total overcome this cancer, overcome this problem. What if he don't overcome? What happened? What happened if you would have to live with that? So this person is not spiritual. This could be some of the consequences of that sin in your life. You need to learn how to go on through that suffering and with that suffering. If you in blindness, if you in darkness, there's a reason God allowed the darkness in your life and not the light. You could become a false prophet. You could start speaking good things to that person, you know. And that's how I meet too many Christians that always have good things. I pray that you have a complete remission of this. God remove it all. It may not happen. The consequences are there. That may be from a sin that you committed in the light. In the light. In other words, as Christians, that's why God says you will be beaten with many more stripes, because if you know this is wrong and this is sin and you still gossiping or lying or doing these things that you shouldn't do, then God's going to inflict that consequences of that sin upon you. And it's not one that's going to easily be removed or whatever, because those in a religion, now I seen Kenneth Copeland on the television the other day, and his people were following me with just a news flash or whatever. Okay, you sitting there listening at, I don't want to call him an idiot or whatever, but you sitting there and following this, you following what this person says, and that person is wrong. That's the blind leading the blind. And it says they both could fall in a ditch. So you got to know when Rab didn't got off the beaten path. You have to know when those around you, if a brother in a church is doing a certain thing, you have to be able to watch his life. You be able to watch his actions. Because, you know, there is an old saying that action speaks louder than words. If this church or these people overlooking the character of this person, are you overlooking what this person is saying and doing, then you know what? You a dumb dog that won't bark. Now, you know, if I had a dog, if you have a dog and you in your house and somebody come in and they steal all your furniture out the house, or they steal all this stuff from your house, you wake up the next morning, that a dog laying on the porch or whatever, and all your stuff go. Do you need him? He says dogs that won't bark. In other words, it's not that they're not saying anything, but these are preachers that are preaching, but they're not preaching on sin. They're preaching peace, peace. Everything's going to be well. They're preaching on prosperity. Well, you already walking in his prosperity. If you weren't walking in prosperity, you wouldn't be in that church. 90% of the people that are in prosperity churches, they are doctors, lawyers, people that had good jobs making money. That's why you're there, because birds of a feather flock together. But you under some preacher that he has it hard. See, Jesus had it hard. Lazarus had it hard. That's why he says, okay, now David died. He went to hell, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. Okay, well, he had it hard all his life. He says, now he's having it easy. That's why I tell you, the people that's suffering down here, the people that's going through something down here, that struggle through hardship or whatever, because why? Because they're able to, God puts them in a bind. God has them carrying a load, but yet still they're able to smile. They're able to tell you and help you. They're able to be nice to you. But these same preachers, these same people, it's like the president was saying, what kind of loser I would be if I lost to Joe Biden. Okay, well, you saying all that, but when you do lose, you are so loser. You go hide up in your house a whole week or something and don't nobody see you. It's easy to talk when somebody else is having a problem. It's easy to talk when I'm suffering or when my car is in the ditch. But what happens when the rabbit get the gun? It ain't so funny then. When these problems coming towards you, what happens when you don't have any money in the bank and you say, well, just live by faith, God's going to provide. Now you have to live this way or whatever. So it's easy to say these things when you're a preacher and you going forward asking that you need to give so I can get me a jet and give out the gospel. And I could get me a Bentley or Rolls Royce to do it in fine shape. And all that money coming in. But that same widow, Jesus was watching. And he told the Pharisees that widow had put much more in than you did. In other words, you would have to give account. That sister, she's working, you know, she's selling Dixie cups and doing this. And she put $1, $2 in. She put money in here, $5 here, $10 in. That carries the same weight if they'd have put $5 million in. Or 10 million because they put of what they had. They gave out of what they had. That's what he says. She gave out of her necessities. See, but you had more to give. That's why I say works can't save you. You had enough money to put in. I remember the president sitting there in one church and he had maybe $80 or $60, you know, a few 20s to put in church. Well, for him, you know, I wouldn't want him in my church. He's a tightwad. If you making the kind of money you make, you might have should have used a check or something because to you, $500 or $1,000 wouldn't have been any money. That's why a tithe is on a portion. It's on a proportional balance. In other words, it's a percentage of what that person makes. So that's why I say we have to watch. We have to watch all things, and that's why people get appointed to different positions in the church. That's why Jesus told the disciples when they came to him, they says, Father, give it to my wife or my sons to sit on your right hand or left hand. Jesus says, well, they will drink of the cup that I drink of. In other words, when he says, be not drunk with wine, it's going to tell whether y'all stuttering or not. I tell you to study, but whether you study or not, you notice that I don't give tests on it. The test is out there. If you're able to walk the walk out there, it's not just hearing the word, it's doing the word. We can see whether you're doing the word out there. When I say pray for somebody, well, it's easy to tell somebody you go pray for them and go away and forget about it, not even pray, and may not pray with fervency. And plus, you can't pray if your life is not right. All these people that have been praying to the priest and pray, well, these child molesters you praying to, this person has abused these, they done did all these things. So God's not listening to them. So the people that God's listening to that praying to God are those that's doing the will of the Father. See, your life has to be purged. You have to examine yourself. That's why I say it's examine yourself before you come to the table of the Lord. Because you going there saying, I'm not worthy. Okay, you're in that agreement that you're not worthy, but he is worthy. By making that confession and you going along with this, he's going to condemn sin in the flesh. You see what I'm saying? If you're not doing what you asking him to do for you, and when he do it, and you know by faith, that's how you should do, is walk by faith, you being led by the Spirit of God. Paul told him, say, well, look, that's why so many of y'all are sick. That's why so many of y'all are dying, because that's the proving ground, the table. See, you can fool me. As the pastor, I tell y'all, well, you need to pray for it. But how many of y'all are praying for me every day, all the time? I remember Brother Dent used to tell me, say, you know, Pastor, I pray for you all the time. It's for show. You know, words are easy to say, but it's for show whether you're doing it. I asked to pray, are we praying that Lord would send more laborers into the field? That he praying for this? What are you seeing in the church that needs done that you asking God and praying to God about? The little things in your life, just like you would pray for your children, are you still praying for your children or lifting up? It's easy to tell somebody to do it. That's false piety. See, that's what happened with this election. They say, well, what happened? Why the polls showed this and the polls saying that? I can tell you why, because America is full of liars. Some people say they're going to do this. Some people say that. Well, just because somebody say they're going to vote for this person, you don't know what's going on even in your own household. Just because you and your wife, you telling your wife that you don't know who she voted for when she went behind that curtain. Now you look back precinct by precinct election, the tallies, and you say, well, how they got 5,000 votes in this area and we got about 9,000 people? Yeah, some of your children or your wives voted for, you thought they was voting another way. You didn't know how they was voting. They might have told you one thing, but they're doing another. That's why I look at that verse when it says, The treacherous are dealt with treacherously. That's in the 21st chapter and the second verse. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. So those that you are lying to are lying to you. Those that you're deceiving are deceiving you. People say, well, we got a con man in here. Well, to the very last minute, now he's saying, if you send some money so we could fight this legal battle, send me money so we could fight this legal battle. Still a con. It's still a con. He's still conning because it says it right at the, he just didn't got better at the con. They caught him in some of his cons with Trump University or whatever and these other things. But now with this con, he puts, it's in writing on that donation thing, that if you don't give at least $8,000 each time, anything under $8,000, it goes directly in my pocket. I could use it for something else. See, so if you're not studied up, it's people, the preachers are preaching the word. But that's why it says that's a famine of hearing the word. Because is it something that you can use? That's why I be trying to listen. I ask questions of y'all or seeing what's going on. So what is it that you can use? It's a lot of things I can preach out of the Bible. Paul says, I haven't failed to declare the whole counsel of God. Am I going over scriptures and things that could help you in parts of your life and not going? You remember I told you we had that preacher that was old Acts 2:38. Okay, we get it about baptism. We get it about these things. Tell me something new. Tell me something I don't know. That's why I was telling you about the guy the other day. Now, I was nice and I was receptive, and I think that's might have gotten him because us Christians look vulnerable. Christians seem vulnerable, and we're supposed to be that way. Yeah. But he said, be wise as serpents. He said, be harmless as a dove, but wise as a serpent. Don't let nobody mess over you. You have to stand. That's why he gives you power to wield the sword. That's why I tell you to study the word so you'll know how to use the word. So he want to waste my time with the common salvation that we were talking about. Yes, okay, all that's understandable, but let us go on to the perfecting of the saints and to maturation. That's what Paul told the people, I mean, at least the writer of Hebrews. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. In other words, to maturity, to a greater depth in the doctrine of God. Because he said he's going to give you of the hidden manner. So all of these churches, if you notice the mega churches, and I didn't bring the article to give you the article on it, they're not preaching the repentance and the things necessary for your life to be changed. And I don't know if you watching those things. That's what I said. Watching applies to you. And until you start watching, I'm a watchman, but God had made all of us watchers. And that's why he says, what I say to one, I say to all. Because is this all in your life? Or do you have aspirations? Have he given you hope and given you a concept of a greater purpose for you to be doing in him? That's why I say it should be ever increasing faith. You shouldn't go from day to day at the same level. You should have higher aspirations. Amen. He says, let us laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. All of those things we should understand in the realm and the course of studying God's word. All of those are foundational issues. But we can't keep laying that same foundation. That's why Jesus, that's why the Spirit told those five sleeping virgins, those that was laying around all the time, those without any energy, God gives you of His Spirit. He gives you of His energy. That's why you're able to accomplish that. He gives you zeal. It says the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. So, He gives that zeal, but He told them, they came and says, give us some of your oil. In other words, give us some of your anointing. Give us some of what you know. He says, go to them. Go to the mega churches. Go to those some of those people that sell and get it from them. See, because what we are laying here is bought sense. My mother used to tell me about bought sense, experiential sense. In other words, those things you go through, those things you learn, when you suffer, when you spend your last dollar, when you get aches and corns on your hands from working and everything, it ain't so easy to give away a dollar then. It ain't so easy to give away your blessings then, unless you're a naive fool. You know, it those that are naive, that don't ever learn that God is blessing you, but He's not blessing you to turn around and give this to others or whatever that are not, what'd you say? Are not worthy of it. And that's why it says, are you worthy of these things? God's blessing you, but the reason the blessings is going away, you giving away your anointing, it's not building up. That's why it says, give that not which is holy unto the dogs, cast not your pearls before swine, or they'll turn and rend you on the foot. The people that you only can please, the people that's only pleased when you're doing something for them. If you married to someone and they're only happy with you for when you're doing something for them, and when you can't do it, then they talk about you like a dog, or you, they say this or say that. That's not love. Samson experienced that. Delilah said, well, you don't love me if you don't do that. When you have to prove these things to people, you got a problem. See, God doesn't prove this. He proved us through His word. That's why I went to John the 17th. He says, sanctify them through thine word. Sanctify them through the truth. So as you walking in the truth and you know God's word, you've studied it. You're able to wield God's word. You know of His promises. That's when your growth is not actually, you're not deceiving yourself. That's why I said, you may be deceiving people, but you yourself are being deceived. It's nobody easier to con than a con man. A person that does something, that's where the flaw lies, in himself. That's how human nature is. That's why he says he's going to trap sin in the flesh. You know, there was an article in the Atlantic about the president when he said, he was looking at Crevlo Dolly. It was during the time when Crevlo had asked the people that he needed a jet to do work better for God. And they gave him that, and he was saying, he says, look at these guys. He was talking about Joel Osteen and Crevlo Dolly. He says, they got something going for them. That's when he turned and started courting the evangelical. See, because if you look at it, sheep are some of the dumbest animals. And that's why he's likening us to sheep. That's why God likens us to sheep. But see, the world is upside down. It's backwards. And that's why he says, I know it's hard because you're a sheep and you're in a world and you think the world should work this way and work like that. That's why you're getting trampled down. He says, come unto me that ye are heavy laden and a burden, and I'll give you rest. Yes. I'll give you the ability to work in a backwards world because it's reversed. When you love your enemies, you don't develop a nature to where a human nature that is dog eat dog is vengeance. As the president say, when somebody hits you, you hit them seven times harder. Whereas Jesus said, when they hit you, you turn the other cheek. Jesus says, you love your enemies. You pray for them that despise. So you have to come to him and learn of him. That's why he says, if you continue in my word, then are you disciples. You're my disciples. Yeah. So as you start to do God's word, he's going to start showing you of the people and the things around you. And you'll be able to, Samson could have went to a scripture and he'll see that that scripture says, don't tell the one that lieth in your bosom all of your own heart. Yeah. See, because sometimes that's what causes your downfall. So a wise head totes a steel tongue. Sometimes the things you know, you don't have to, because you're right or whatever, you don't have to prove that you're right. See, that's why I say observation goes a long ways. But that's still not faith. Walking by faith is not walking by sight. See, because sometimes your eyes could be fooled. So we have to have faith in God. And Jesus is the one told us, he left us in the world, and he's not praying for the world. He's praying for us, and that we should stay away from the evil. So we have to be separate in this world. That's why he says, now if I come back and catch you drinking and cavorting and carousing around with the world, your master come back, and at a time you know it not, you will be in a fix here. He will appoint you a portion with those that you're with. Have you ever been in a crowd, but you're not part of that crowd? Do you feel separated from your family sometimes, separated with people? You could be in a crowd of people and still be all alone. That may be the best position, because you're in the crowd, but you're not of the crowd. That's why it says you're in the world, but you're not of the world. He says if you don't do it that way, you must needs go out of the world. So you can't go around mad at your relatives and everybody else. You must love them and pray for them and treat them the same way. But when God does what he has to do, you have a clear conscience in everything, because that's what he taught you, to love them. But not above God. He says, you must love me above all these other things. So when they step or they cross the wrong way, you should reprove them. Because if you allow them to continue in that sin as a watchman, now he's going to fault you. You didn't warn them. And now their blood is on your hands. See, Paul said he's not guilty of any man's blood because he had warned them. So many women, and if you look at Proverbs, he says the shame, the bad son and things wrong with the son is reflects on the mother or whatever. You know, it's because a lot of times the mother is not hard enough on the son as she should be. She's not the way she should be, and she try to shield them and guard them. A lot of places where my mother shielded or guarded me. If she'd have let my daddy tear me all to pieces during that time, if he was a little bit more stringent on me, I'd have been better. I wouldn't have had to go through this and relearn these things. Much as I love my mother, some of those areas where she protected me, she should have not protected me. That's why I say the heart gets in the way sometimes. That's why he says, you should have my heart. He's going to give you a new heart. He's going to give you a new way of thinking. Because pity is different from mercy. Mm-hmm. Empathy is different. Being able to empathize, God gives you that ability. That's what Joe Biden, how he touched some people. You know what happened to him? And the reason, one of the reasons he could relate, his son died of brain cancer or some kind of cancer. So he can tell you about hurting children, hurting people. You know what? His wife and his daughter and his two sons was on the way to pick up a Christmas tree. They was going shopping for the family for Christmas. He was at work or whatever, but they had a wreck. They had an auto accident. It killed the wife and his baby daughter. So that's why Biden can stand up and talk to the people about hurting. That's why he can talk during the pandemic about people hurting. Because when you hear somebody that lost their mother and their father and different portions of the family, if you've been raised right, you wouldn't get up like Donald Trump Jr. said, hey, this is not a small, this is such a small amount. You mean 1,000 people or 1,200 people a day dying and you saying it doesn't amount to anything? You a Christian, a lot of Christians talk about that angel that came out and slew 180,000 Assyrians in that one night. Well, it's over 240 some thousand Americans that died from this disease. And he kept telling us during the campaign that he's turning the corner. But now they're saying within another few weeks or whatever, it's going to be up to 1 million people a day with this. So you have to live in this world. He doesn't take us out of this world. This world shouldn't change us. He should change us. We should be conformed to his likeness and his image. But it takes watching the world. It takes watching ourselves. But it takes taking heed to him. He's going to sanctify you. He's going to regenerate you. He's going to show you we have to be in his image and his likeness because this world is passing away and all that is in this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is of this world. All those things we have to be watchful of. So I'm going to give you tomorrow some more about watching. But we see when he says, watchmen, what of the night? We've seen the destruction. We've seen the losses. But we still need to be aware. We need to watch with Jesus more than 1 hour. We need to be vigilant. We need to keep putting Christ on. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus, so each day we have to walk circumspectly because the devil's going about like a roaring lion seeking him whom he may devour. So if he tells us we're going to have to give account for every word that we say and you're going to be paid according to the deeds done in his body, sin gets a little bit more precarious then. You start watching yourself. You start watching your sin. You start being more circumspect. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God,